Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio, doing great things in the state of Maryland and also all over the U.S. Nestor, welcome in.
Well, Dennis, you're laughing at me, right? Before we start,
Not
because I'm
laughing
wearing.
at you. I'm laughing. It's a laughter of joy. Watch
I
seeing you in the
listen.
number one Warren Moon jersey.
I just wanted to show you that it fit. You know what I mean? I bought
There
it
you
because it
go.
fit.
There
I
you
had
go.
to wash it a couple times and get it to smell right.
Looks
And
good.
I'm not drinking my Royal Farms coffee today out of this, but I just want to let you know this. I've owned this. This is a lifer. I've owned this one for, 30 years, 40 years, right?
Yep.
The collection's beginning a little bit, but this is the only modern. I mean, all
Nice.
the other trinkets I've had around, but I it's really been interesting to me because they can't win, they can't lose, they can never bring joy or pain ever again. There's never going to be a parade. There'll never, there never was, right? So it's sort of a benign little
All right.
hobby of mine at
So
this
for our
point.
listeners, Nestor's rocking a white Houston Oilers jersey, Warren Moon edition, with the baby blue number one on it, red trim, offset by his red collar from the Coons Ford shirt underneath. But it's a wonderful look, Nestor, for me and for listeners.
It's a throwback. Well, I figure we're all
Yeah.
talking about QB1. And I mean, there's only one QB1, man, right? I mean, this is the only QB1 right here
Moon,
that
baby.
mattered, Warren
He was
Moon.
fantastic. He was a great quarterback.
Yeah, and he's always been nice to me.
Yeah.
And I know there's been hints and allegations and this and that, but every time I had Lee Steinberg on this week, Lee represented him and David Meltzer, the guys that represented him. And Warren, you know what? If this holds up, are you ready for this? Now that Chad Steele has thrown me out. The last Hall of Famer to ever visit me on Radio Row was Warren
Warren
Moon
Moon.
in his hometown of Los Angeles. And I actually played football with the Wounded Warriors. I think I told you this last year. I was out on the field. Did I tell you that story? I played football with
Yes.
Kurt Warner, and it was actually at the field where Warren Moon went to high school. It was his. His name's up, the whole deal. And by the way, every time I see Kurt Warner, I want you to think that's the real McCoy. That's a genuine.
The genuine article,
He's the real
the real
freaking
deal.
deal.
You know,
He is the
we should
real
have got
deal.
him with the Ravens. He was available. I remember when the Giants drafted Eli Manning, first round draft pick, and they came to the stadium and we were just whipping the rookie. And Kurt came in the second half and just started throwing dimes. And it was clear to everyone at the stadium that had he started that game, we would have lost. And that was when, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed were on that defense. He just picked us apart. I've seen him throw the ball live just like you have. He was incredible in his prime.
I just want to say, I mean, I've met all sorts of people, and you know what a fan of Joe Flacco I am, right? Like, just as a human being, you know what a fan of Rod Woodson I am as a human. These are real dudes. You know what I mean? Like, just from being inside, outside for so many
Yeah,
years.
I've spent time with Woodson, not as much as you have, but again, another genuine article of a guy. Just amazing.
You know another guy that's a real dude? Shannon Sharpe's a dude. You
He is
know
a
what I mean?
dude.
Shannon
Oh, I love
Sharpe's a
Shannon
dude.
Sharp. He is a dude.
So just people that I really know in the real world and I've gotten to see, man, I was out on the field with Kurt Warner with these children with special needs and just
Yeah.
untouchable. On whatever you think of Brooks Robinson, think that of Kurt Warner. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Unbelievable. And these stories need to be told so the fans could understand what some of these athletes actually do, right? They're not defined just by football. They're part in a pro football Hall of Fame career, but it's the off the field stuff that give them back to the community. They see the person, not the condition, right? That's when you really know that you have a good human being with you.
How many players are from tough conditions? I mean, Warren Moon's stadium, it wasn't a place to get an Uber. You know, it was a tough neighborhood
Sure.
and where he grew up. And I think about Torrey Smith and Aaron Maben and what they do every day here in
Yeah.
this city,
They're
trying to
involved.
help people. So, I mean, I'm proud to wear a Warren Moon jersey. So there, it's a throwback. It doesn't offend anybody. You don't even think of the Tennessee Titans,
No,
like,
you
and
don't.
by the
No.
way, when you Google, like going to eBay, looking to buy stuff, there's more Eddie George and Steve McNair, sort of that era of a couple of those guys that played in Tennessee in this gear for that 1, 2 years that they wore it before they became Titans. So, throwback. Why not? And the weird thing about this jersey, and then we'll get on to Lamar because I got things I need to say. I woke up watching Shannon Sharpe, talk about it because it showed up on my Twitter.
I missed the sharp segment today, so can't wait to look at it.
You know, I saw this Warren Moon jersey, and I gotta be honest, man, I wouldn't have been able to buy it back in the 80s, but I went to a lot of Oiler games. So when Warren Moon was the quarterback, 87, 88, 89, ask Mark Messina. We drove up to Pittsburgh and went to a Steelers game together. My buddy Swish Morrison got in the car. We went out to Cleveland to see the Browns. Every year they played in Cleveland. Every year they played in Pittsburgh. And then every third year they would play the New England, the Jets,
Sure.
or they would play the Giants and the Redskins. I went to all up and down to see them
And
play.
back then, football was football. It was a slobber knocker, right? It wasn't like today's game. It was a different game, much, much, much more physical
Well, I
back
told
in
you
the
I was
day.
a season ticket holder in the late 80s with my buddy Russ Letcher for the Eagles.
Yes, you were.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, so when Baldinger was an Eagle, I used to see him in the program. We'd go up to the Passyunk Diner and get eggs and bacon. I'd read the Philly Inquirer every Sunday, big and thick. We'd buy it out in front. We'd walk to the, I mean, we didn't have a team. It was
Right.
1986, 87, 88.
I get
So,
that.
you know, this thing here, the weird part is I always saw them play in white on the road because they never play. Maybe once in a while they play in blue because I think the Redskins wore white at home, so they might have worn blue that day, you know, when they visited. But they always wore this white, and this was the white that Warren Moon was wearing the day of the Bills game. You know, the meltdown game was in
Yeah.
this jersey. So it didn't take me long to break it out to have some smart Alex in my world, you know, say this reminds them of that. And I said, it doesn't remind me of that. Reminds
Yeah,
me of all the glory.
me too. I don't get that. Now, if I see Frank Reich, yes, I'm reminded of that game, but not Warren Moon. Look, it happens.
You know,
He was
and
a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Ted Marchibroda was on the other side, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yes, he
you know,
was.
some a lot of great names, and it does evoke a beautiful time in my life. And I don't have a lot of throwback stuff, literally. Like, and my wife would tell you from living downtown for 20 years, for being like a sports guy who has so much sports stuff that I could adorn my walls with all sorts of stuff. I don't have a lot of that going on, and the stuff that means something to me, it means nothing. I pay $33.96 to have this delivered, and it means nothing to nobody else because it sat there.
Well, worth it. But let's get on to Lamar. I know you have some
Yeah.
strong thoughts and comments on the ongoing situation here.
Yeah, I just think the weather changes here every couple of days. And did we not know it was inevitable that somebody else would be making these calls and not him to represent him? And he didn't even understand that, like, your mother really can't call the owner or like only
Yeah.
you can represent you. That I
Well,
know that they sat him down and they told him this 1,000 times. I know the union told him this and whatever. This is just a pattern of stuff
yeah.
that I would think Steve and Eric have just been, it's been
Well,
enervating and exasperating. And as much as nobody wants to step up and they want to scream collusion, if you and I had an NFL franchise, we probably would just take our chances with a draft pick before we would give this kid $200 million and draft picks and, you know, and give the keys to the franchise to him and never be able to renegotiate with him to even get salary cap help because he's not sophisticated enough to really understand what's going on.
what you and I would do if we were NFL GMs, we would tell him, the agent, that you need a certified agent to negotiate for you because we're not going to go through the song and dance. We don't have 2 years like the Ravens. You wasted 2 years of their time. So get yourself a certified professional agent before
And get
you,
in here Monday.
right? Or take us out of your consideration. Stop calling us. Stop having uncertified people, unprofessional people call us. Period.
Well, I mean, it's against the rules. I don't, I guess
Yes.
it's against the law or their laws or their
They will not talk
bylaws.
to, they will only talk to a certified agent or the player, A or B. He's both, so you can't have your buddies or whomever represent you.
You know what Shannon Sharp said that was the smartest thing?
What's
And
that?
again, I'm glad I've evoked him, and the Warren Moon jerseys made me tell a couple Shannon Sharps because I haven't talked to Shannon in a long time. I haven't run into him because of the radio ride. He's not in my phone. I mean, I could probably get him on the phone in 20 minutes if I was on fire, but I don't like Skip Bayless. I don't watch the show because I just don't like knuckleheads, right? I mean, it's just I've experienced this over 30 years, screaming just to scream. You know, I've been accused of that, which is insane. I work every day to make sure I'm not perceived as such. So, you know, for me with Shannon Sharp, he said the representation part that nobody even explained to him that only a representative can make multiple bids. You know,
Right.
can can do the work that needs to be done. You cannot do this work. If you want to negotiate with your own team, or if you're George Brett, who used to walk in and shake hands with the owner, you know, Mr. Kaufman back in the day in Philadelphia, and make deals, like, if that's the kind of business you do, great. If you seek free agency in the National Football League and you seek to get the attention to the biggest contract in the history of the game, in the history of the game, you want the most money ever, and you want to pit 6, 8, 10 teams against each other, you have to have an agent. It's not possible to do this. And you and I sat here last summer and said that. I'm sure Eric realized when this kid goes to market, how in hell can this possibly happen? You and I talked about the technical part of this. Probably in January, we started to really scratch our head and think about, okay, I remember one morning, I'm like, you're a smart guy, Dan. Now, how does this work? Now, the bell rings and he's a free agent. Who sends a plane? And like, how does this happen that he would get $200 million and he thinks that they're not even going to meet him? I mean, I don't know. There's a fantasy world on Twitter, and then there's the real world of a guy like me that's covered this stuff for 37 years and has spent time avoiding most of these agents, right? I mean, because Aaron Wilson used to chase the agents around to get all, you know, that's the business. That's what Adam Schefter, that's how he gets his stories. You know that, but maybe some people in our audience don't know that. And I just never, once Tony Agnone lied to me the first time, there's no reason to get, it's like any other relationship, you know? Right. I mean, I can say this. I actually said it. I saw Gary Williams speak on Wednesday morning at a Connect event here up in Hunt Valley. And I saw some great people out and moved around, but I saw one of David Modell's dearest employees and friends from that era. And we had a word about David. And I said, you know, David never lied to me. Man, in the modern era, I had Peter King on last week. I said, Peter, you're of the era where you covered the draft, and the guy, Bill Polian, was honest enough with you so you didn't look like a fool. Like, this is Wild Wild West now. Nobody's honest about anything anymore on behalf of their business. And it'd be like me saying to you, give me your honest prices on every single thing in your dealership. You're like, that's more private dealership. Stop. You know, but I
understand.
They're
online. We're very transparent. They're online.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But
there's an answer though. It's a right answer. It's an ethical answer. And it's truthful.
Yeah.
You know, I've been selling truth for 36 years. All right. And that's the easiest thing to sell is a truth. The hardest thing to sell is a lie. Because at some point that lie untwists itself, right? Truth always comes out in the end, doesn't it?
But here's the deal with this money and Lamar thing, and you know this. This is gamesmanship of the highest, highest, highest order. It's like them throwing me out. It's just a power play, right? Like, it's who they are as humans. All of them. Lamar has never walked into a room where he hasn't been the prettiest girl and hasn't thrown, you know, and on the other side, Steve Bisciotti's never been haggled and never been rolled in a negotiation. And Eric DaCosta got rolled by the kid out in Seattle, Earl Thomas. Eric DaCosta won't get rolled anymore.
No, he won't. No. Lamar's been played by the Ravens, and he's allowed himself to be played by the Ravens. That's what's clear to me. It's his fault. It really is.
Yeah, and how I keep going back to this. Everybody's, well, you'll come back and play for 32. Do you want a pissed off $32 million employee?
No.
Because that's what you're going to get. I mean, you and I know that. We've seen this kid's act, right? Like, he's an emotional human being. We all are emotional human beings. I was emotional as hell at 25, too, right?
We'll be in this spot next year this time, you and I, talking about the same thing.
Wow. You really think he's going to come back and be forced to play, you know, like –
Yep. Yep.
You think it's going to be an ugly OTA?
Yes,
it is. You think
it's
going to be an ugly summer?
He's not going to show up. Nope.
Boy, it would feel like the Ravens don't want that.
They don't. But, you know, what are they supposed to do? They need a quarterback. Stuck between a rock and a hard place. But anyhow, my apologies today, Nestor, up against the clock. We got to get going here. But
do you think our audience doesn't get enough of me? Come on now. You can get rid of me anytime.
No, not enough. I can get enough of you. So I appreciate you.
I can't quit you, Dennis. I'll see you on Monday. And we'll wait for the purple plumes of smoke. And in the meantime, enjoy the nice weather. Go fish.
Don't hold your breath. There he goes. Nestor J.F. Reese here, 1570 a.m. WNST will take a quick break. Come back right after this.